Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, Neil Stahlberger from Stahlsy's Delis. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now the man who wonders if anybody's tried one of those earwax vacuums, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah, the earwax vacuum. Someone's got to buy them or they wouldn't keep advertising them. You know, it's been slow. You know, in terms of television gadgets, there hasn't been much since the clapper that caught my eye. And I never got a clapper because, you know, it's admitting defeat, you know, if you have a clapper. So I'm not there yet. But now this earwax vacuum thing seems like an idea whose time has come. Because you think about it, shoving those objects in your ears is frowned upon, you know. And here's a thing that just actually doesn't even make contact with the eardrum itself. And what about the guy in the commercial who's got one in each ear? Is that heaven or what? But has anyone actually sent for the earwax? Okay.
My girlfriend has one.
She left, though, huh? She left you. She's, yeah. She's with Johnny Depp right now, cuddling. She has one? She bought one?
She did. She never used it, though.
No.
I think she bought it for the novelty. Our friend talked her into it.
Really? For the novelty? I mean, that's something that you can just pull it out and say, look what I got. You know what I mean? I mean, oh, an earwax vacuum. I don't see that. Anyone else have one and actually try it? And you have one?
Well, I bought one for my husband, but he won't use it.
You bought one for your husband, but he won't use it. Okay. Did you get him also the nose hair? Trimmer? His daughter got him a nose hair trimmer. You got him an earwax. This guy's got to feel terrible. Is he here? Is that one of you, gentlemen? How do you feel about getting that type of gift, sir?
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Okay. So it's appreciated. Okay. All right. Totally different. Well, you know, each week we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners so that they shall not perish from the actual earth. And we have such memos here. Oh, the ice and water controversy continues from last week. You may have heard it. When the ice melts in your drink, the question went from Clayton, as I recall. If the ice melts in your drink, does it actually then lower the level of your drink or not? And then we got into glaciers. If the glacier melts in your drink, no, I don't know what it was, but saying water levels about glaciers melting. So they actually should go down if the ice in your drink melting actually would lower the level of your bourbon. Anyway, this clears it up, I think. Concerning the topic of the questions about melting ice, et cetera, during last week's show. First, if you put an ice cube in a glass and let the ice cube melt, the level of the water in a glass will stay the same. In the case of the ice cube, when we start before the ice cube melts, the height of the water in a glass is determined by the volume of the original liquid water plus the volume of the hole in the water caused by the floating ice cube. Okay, now that's abstract. After the ice melts, the original amount of water, liquid water, stays the same. The total volume of water from the ice cube, both at the ice originally in the water and the ice that was above the water, would exactly equal the amount, the volume of the hole in the water. In short, the height of the water in the glass is the same before and after the melting of the ice cube. Okay. Two, as a later caller pointed out, the proposed rising of the seas as a result of global warming does not result from the melting of sea ice, rather it is caused by land ice that melts and runs into the sea. Furthermore, there's another issue here. Western Europe is much warmer than we expect it to be considering its northern latitude. For example, England is at roughly the same latitude as Nova Scotia and Rome roughly as far north as Minneapolis. That's a scary thought. Page two. Main reason for this is the Gulf Stream, which carries vast amounts of warm water and air up the North Atlantic. If the Greenland ice sheets were to melt, they would dump large amounts of fresh water into the Gulf Stream, which would significantly change the salinity, salt content of the waters of the Gulf Stream. This, in turn, would disrupt the pumping mechanism that drives the Gulf Stream. The end result in this model is that much of Northern Europe would end up with a climate similar to that of much of Northern Canada. That's Michael Kramer from Guilford, Vermont. Well, thank you for that. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. But I know there's a connection between drinking and rising sea levels. But I just can't pin it down what exactly it is. Oh, here we go. This is about giving cheese away as a prize. From Bill Leslie in Baltimore. He says, better be careful when you give gifts of Wisconsin cheese to your out-of-state guests. We just returned from a vacation in Appleton, which included a tour of the Union Star Cheese Factory. We bought several large blocks of cheddar and Colby to take back to Baltimore. Going through security at Milwaukee Airport, the TSA officer pulled my son's suitcase aside and told him they'd have to do a more aggressive pat-down. TSA sent the cheese blocks back through the x-ray machine and asked my son, is there anything in your luggage that's hazardous, dangerous, or sharp besides the cheese? He said, no, it's mild, cheddar. I've discovered it's not a good thing to joke to TSA personnel. It's not all have a sense. Some guys do, but he said TSA got a chuckle out of that. So there you have it. That's that one. All right. Okay. Oh, here's the actual memo, and it's brief. You'll be happy to know. This was maintenance staff at a post office somewhere in the great state of Missouri. Reads as follows. Please remind your employees that no dogs or other animals except those used to assist persons with disabilities are allowed on Postal Service property for other than official purposes. This includes deer remains. Thank you, Debbie, on behalf of Henry. Okay, well, thank you for that, memo. I thought it was a good one. Deer remains. Deer remains could be a helper animal, I think, if you're leaning on it or something.
Or you were hungry.
Yes. Good point. And then where can they send these memos and anything they want to communicate to us?
They can send memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there. If they want to take the snail mail route, there's 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Uh-huh. And, thank you so much. Are you staying for this, too? This is wonderful. Is there any limit as to what you can communicate about or any guidelines to use if you want to communicate with us on any subject?
We do not edit, no. We don't bleep anybody. They're free to send in whatever they like to send in.
Okay, so there are no guidelines?
No.
Okay.
Come on, come on.
Thank you, Sarah Nix.